souls, there is a fountain that drowns sorrow. There is an ocean deeper than fear. The tide is rising, rising.
Thank you. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? Amen. Amen. Give us some joy. Yes, yes. I'm Pastor Mark with the Affirming Faith Community of Harmony, Toluca Lake, and this is the second campus of Hollywood United Methodist Church. And here we are yet again on another glorious Southern California day together, together. And we're here worshiping God and giving praise to the Lord. And it's whether you're here in person or you're connecting online or listening to the podcast, it's just a grateful blessing that we are here. And we are blessed in an abundance of ways each and every day, right? We just need to open up our eyes and our ears, our hearts and our minds to recognize that these amazing blessings that are They're just all around us and before us. And that, whether it's small and just simple, or whether it's magnificent and transformative, each one is a gift, just like each of you are. This morning during our worship service, we also have the blessing of participation by a number of individuals. And here's a shout out to our production team and to our greeters and to everyone who's working in Harmony Kids and Tots. And each of them are absolutely marvelous and wonderful. And thanks, as always, to Melinda and the worship band. And they're providing us with that wonderful, fantastic music. And we appreciate the other worship participants that will be participating this morning, Alan Leung, Devin Ogden. And we get to welcome Pastor Bridie Roberts, the associate pastor for Hollywood UMC, who's going to share the message with us today, Jesus is Lord. So I do want to mention three things. Here we go. Usually don't do announcements, but I've got these three I've got to say something about. So tomorrow night, Dining Out with Harmony. Yes, that's Monday, October the 18th, 6:30 p.m. We're going to be at Patty's. And so that's in Toluca Lake. So let's come together, enjoy a meal in each other's company. If you haven't already done so, contact Jason Hecht. Second, All Saints Day. So this is going to be happening on Sunday, November the 7th, and we're going to say it's All Saints Sunday. And on this day, we're going to be remembering and honoring those who have passed away since January of 2020. We're being cognizant of this to say we want to do this since January of 2020, when the beginning of the pandemic began. So if for this upcoming All Saints Sunday, if you would like to include the name of loved ones during a special moment during our worship service, please email me those names. My email is Mark, M-A-R-K, at Hollywood UMC. And we need this information by Tuesday, November the 2nd. So lastly, Creation Care. One of Harmony's small groups reflects on and considers the actions in which we're able to better care for God's creation. And so let us now, we're going to receive a special message from pastoral intern Jace Lucas, and he's going to present a Creation Care challenge for us to consider and to implement. Give us a second. Technical glitch. See if we can redo that one. The beauty of technology. And if it doesn't show, Cody, just let me know and I'll give the announcement. Yeah, you want me to do it myself? All right. They did run it this morning before worship service, and it did work. Jace, by the way, is with the Harmony Tots and right now, so that's the reason why he's not here in person in the sanctuary. All right, well, I'm just going to go ahead and do this. So this Saturday, which is coming Saturday, Jace has put a challenge before us for Creation Care, and it's a focus on turn off the lights. And so he wants to turn off the lights, us to turn off the lights from sunrise to sundown. And why would we do this? Well, it is in our own care. It's not only to save us money, but it's also a way in which we can protect the environment. And so it was just something that came as a challenge within this past Creation Care's gathering. And they do meet the first Monday of the month. So I hope that you can join in the next time. But take part of this challenge, the Creation Care Challenge. Turn off the lights this Saturday. All right, so our thanks to Jace for leading and facilitating the group. And we give thanks for all of these opportunities, yes? All right. So let us take a moment. I want us to take a moment to center ourselves for a moment of prayer. And so I'd like for all of us to take a deep breath in and hold it and let it out. Take another deep breath in and hold it and let it out. And let us continue to do that. Heavenly Creator, source of all life, we give thanks to you for the breath of life in which you have gifted us, for the breath that sustains us in the world in which we live. We give thanks for the food of this earth that nurtures life, and for the love of community, family, friends, this faith community, without which there would be no life. We appreciate and express that appreciation for you to those who are known to us and those who are unfamiliar, who welcome us, who call us to grow in understanding, to be generous and care for one another. Giver of all grace, we thank you for this day and for the opportunity to work for justice and peace, to love you and our neighbors, to experience your awesome presence, for your eternal promise to be with us, to be our God, to be our Salvus. There are moments in our lives, Lord, when there are just tremendous challenges and circumstances that arise in which we struggle, in which we seek your guidance, your help, for you to just wipe away our tears and hold us close. We humbly ask on this day for your comfort and care for our sister faith community, Belfair's Methodist Church in Lee-on-Sea, England, and for family, friends, colleagues, and constituents of Sir David Amos, MP, who was tragically killed on the church grounds this past Friday. Sir David was well known to the Methodist family locally in Essex and widely respected. On this day, we also lift up those in the Harmony Faith community, Shauna Carroll, who went through a traffic accident this week, Anna Kelly and her family, as her uncle died this week and her dad is currently undergoing chemotherapy treatments. Loretta Martinez, who had shoulder surgery a few days ago and is now in the rehabilitation process. And for Chris Smith, who has been assisting his mother, Fran, since the passing of the family patriarch, Denny. We pray for Fran's well-being along with traveling mercies for Chris as he prepares to return to Los Angeles. And we give thanks for Jason, Chris's partner, who is steadfast in his love and care. There are many in our midst who are in connection with us, those in our myriad of circles of family and friends who have so much weighing on their minds and their hearts. That which is known to us and that which is not known to us, but it is known to you, O God. And whatever problems, issues, life circumstances that we're dealing with, Lord, we release it over to you so that we can live in the way that you want us to live, for fruitful living and for your glory. And on this International Day of Eradication of Poverty Day, for the 1.3 billion people living in multidimensional and persistent poverty, may the structures of discrimination that disadvantage people in poverty be dismantled. May human dignity be placed at the heart of policy and action, and may those living in poverty be engaged in informed and meaningful participation in that decision-making process that directly affects their lives. May we build together so that all people, as well as our planet, be respected and appropriately cared for. We lift all of this up to you, loving God. And through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So friends, You know what does my heart good? Seeing each of you and being with you and being in relationship with one another. And there is a lot of love being experienced. And all of this brings about within me, what do you think that is, Alan? That would be what, Alan?
Joy?
Joy!
Are you talking about joy, Pastor Mark?
Hi, everyone. Harmony family. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Alan Leong. I just wanted to express my joy for being here with you all today. Like Pastor Mark said, I just wanted to recognize the production team for the great work they're doing. To Harmony leadership for making us feel safe and being here today, being able to worship in person. I feel so much closer to God when I'm able to be here in person with all of you here together. And I think we're just so blessed to make this happen. So here at Harmony, we don't give offering by passing around a plate. We have a little metal box in the back on the wall over there called the Joy Box. And so you can give in multiple different ways. You can put your offering in that box right there. You can give through text. You can give online. If you want to write a check and mail it to the church, you can do that too. You can see on the screen there's a QR code that shows different ways of giving. So you have many different options. All that we ask is that if you are able to give, that you give with joy. Thank you so much.
Thank you. My name is Devin. I'm going to be doing a reading from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. The translation is from the New Revised Standard Version. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger to you, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me, naked, and you did not give me clothing, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Word of God, words of life. Thanks be to God. Amen.
When the skies are raging, the ground is shaking, I'm not giving way, the clouds will part again. You are sovereign, Lord above the storm, I'm not worried, you're right here through it all.
What a blessing to us, isn't it? Amen. Good morning, friends. It's good to be back with you once again as we continue our exploration together of Diana Butler Bass's Freeing Jesus. Her book explores both her own journey of faith and the many ways that she has known Jesus as friend, teacher, Lord, way, and presence. And as she faces the question many of us have heard or even posed ourselves in this world, how can you still be a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian? Especially in these times, we get conflicting messages from everywhere. In the chapter, Lord, that we explore this week, Diana reflects on her own journey, learning about who Jesus is beyond his role as her personal savior to his role as liberator of the world. We've all heard the phrase, Christ is Lord, am I right? But what does it really mean? How do we go from being saved to being a part of Christ's salvific work in the world, his saving work in the world? Now, Diana tells the story of attending her liberal arts college, a small evangelical Christian college in a sheltered and economically exclusive part of Santa Barbara, and there encountering for the first time challenges to her recently found evangelical Christian identity. Now, this could be a familiar story for some of us. I know that there are many in the Harmony Toluca Lake family who have walked through evangelicalism and found their way here in search of a broader knowledge of Christ. And that was the same for her. It was the 70s and the world was changing. The same kind of cultural awakenings and social movements that were shaking the secular world were working their way through the faith community. And her Christian school, though cloistered and segregated off on its own, was not immune. And she began to encounter through the writings, teachings, and actions of others, a Jesus who cared not just for our souls, but for the whole world and what transpired in that world. Now, many people have a very personal, individual experience of Jesus as personal savior. And for them, this is enough. But today's scriptures from the gospel and the book we are reading really beg the question, is that enough for the world? Or is Jesus calling us beyond our personal salvation to be part of a much bigger transformation? She remembers a statement made to her in those years that stayed with her. Jesus can't just be your savior. He must also be your Lord. And for her, this was a radical notion. She goes on to say, I was riveted by the idea, Lord, master of all, a God who cared about justice and peace and things that happened here on earth. Admittedly, the Jesus I had encountered as a teenager could manage to save people from sin and death. But maybe there was more. Maybe Jesus could save the world. When we say Jesus is Lord, what does it really mean? Let's talk about it. Now, Jesus is Lord is a phrase that we know it is common in our language today, but it wasn't always that way. It was an early church affirmation, and it was countercultural. Early Christians lived in a hierarchical, politically oppressive society of Rome. Lord was a title that workers had to use for their employers, students for their teachers. People who held power over other people in Rome were called Lord. It was a way of maintaining social order and also demanding deference to an earthly power structure. When early Christians instead began naming Jesus as Lord in public, when they greeted each other, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, it was an act of faith and defiance. Stating publicly for anyone who could hear who their true allegiance and submission was to. When early Christians met each other greeting Jesus is Lord, they were laying out what they believed the balance of power should be on this earth. Diana writes in her book, in a world where millions were held in slavery and millions of others lived in poverty and powerlessness at the bottom of a rigid social hierarchy, Claiming Jesus as Lord announced one's liberation from oppression. I want you to hold on to that for a second. These three little words which have become so common in our time were life-affirming for early Christians and incredibly risky. In fact, life-risking. And yet they said them. She goes on to share that the term Lord was used frequently in Jewish texts at the time because writing the name of God was not permitted. The term Adonai was used instead, which translates as God. And when the scriptures were translated into Greek, the word Kyrios, which means Lord, was used. And that term Lord had a lot of meanings. It appears in the written New Testament more than 700 times, many specifically referring to Jesus. In fact, we are so used to seeing that as today in the modern world, like when we read the Bible, that as readers, it loses some of the edge that it originally carried, some of its meaning. We just sort of take it for granted, don't we? Yeah, Jesus is Lord. We got it. We're here at church, aren't we? We already know this stuff. But we shouldn't take it for granted. We should see it for what it was. Each time Jesus is called Lord in the New Testament, it is a challenge to the political and social hierarchy that existed in the time when he lived and in the time when the books were written, which was a little while later. And quite frankly, it's a challenge to the times that we are living in as well. It demands an allegiance, or in a time that demands allegiance only for worldly powers, and certainly would never have made space for an itinerant, wandering teacher to carry that title. We had said Jesus is Lord many times in prayer and scripture and song. But do we own it? Are we ready to lean into what it truly means? To allow Jesus to both act as our Savior and to follow him into the world, wherever that may lead us? Are we ready to accept the invitation that Christ has put on our heart when we accept his love and his grace? Are we ready to be co-creators of the world that is yet to come? What does it mean to you? What does it really mean to follow Christ? Not just as your teacher or your friend or your personal savior, all good, but as Lord. Today's scripture passage, this parable of Jesus found in the book of Matthew, gives us a pretty clear picture. It's the last judgment, the sheep and the goats. You all know this passage, right? We in the Progressive Church love to use this passage. We use it a lot. The verses are an explicit statement from Jesus on the prioritization of the work of his followers, a work that is not compelled, but instead is born from love and rebirth. These words have defined our mission and ministry as a church and our understanding of what it means to truly be a person of faith. They are some of the most familiar in the Bible. They make it clear where our work lies as Christians. And yet, we struggle. The examples listed in the parable are not arbitrary. Jesus walked beside the rich and the poor. He welcomed the tax collector at his table, and he washed the feet of the lonely. But in this passage, he specifically names the most vulnerable in his society, and frankly, in our society today. He names those who were outcast then and now, the immigrant, the destitute, the sick, the homeless, the criminals, all those left at the margins of society. Our church, and I mean this universally as a Christian people, not our little campus here, our church has struggled to do these most simple of works. To be in intimate solidarity with our neighbors. And all around us, we can see evidence of this. I don't have to proof text this for you, right? It's around us. We live in a nation that claims Christianity, in fact, says we are formed as a Christian nation. It's the wealthiest in the world with the biggest military, but still, children go hungry, and our elected leaders actually debate whether or not we should continue school lunch programs. At our border, men, women, and children seeking refuge from direct harm and relief from their countries of origin are met with violence and derision. I don't know if you've seen the photos of U.S. Border Patrol on the back of horses lifting canes against black brothers and sisters from Haiti, It evokes images from hundreds of years of slavery in this country. It is not acceptable, and yet it has happened in the last few months here at the borders of our country. They have come here seeking refuge, and they are told to go back where they come from. We do not welcome the stranger. And in our own streets of Los Angeles, more than 60,000 people have no proper shelter at night. And yet all around us, we see development of luxury apartments that we know are not going to be filled. There are several in my own neighborhood in Koreatown that are two-thirds empty for months because people can't afford to live there. These are real failures, right? And I don't want to beat on us, I don't want to make us like feel down, but I think we should acknowledge it, right? It's happening all around us. These failures seem like they are big decisions made by parties that are really distant from us, too far away for us to touch. But I want to challenge that. Are they really? Do we accept them because they are made by our earthly rulers, the powers that be? Or will we call Jesus Lord and follow his path by making small decisions and taking actions that are within our own grasp that can change the world in small ways day by day? You see, it turns out that loving Jesus does involve a little bit of work. When we begin to see Jesus as Lord, when we choose not only to revel in our salvation, but begin to understand that it is not, in fact, just a personal experience, but instead one of building God's kingdom, the work begins. And it's not a work required by God. You are loved by God regardless. But it's a creative work that we are invited to join because we want to, because we love Jesus, and because we want something more. We can all agree to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, but it's much harder when our neighbor doesn't agree with us, or when the neighbor we're called to love just isn't that lovable, like when I was knocking doors in Arizona at election time. Or when the neighbor we are called to love challenges our own prejudices, frankly, that we're not ready to deal with, and gives rise to inconvenient feelings. But our redemption is found when we struggle together around these issues. Our redemption is found when we work through the hard stuff. Our redemption is found in acts of service that help us move beyond our fear. Now, perhaps the part of this message, of this text, that we dwell on less is the one that seems to be focused on judgment, because we don't like a judgy Jesus, right? I don't like a judgy Jesus. But it's all here in this passage, so we're gonna grapple with it right now. This passage talks about the infamous separation of the sheep and the goats. One preparing to receive the foundation of the world, the sheep. And those destined for more fiery locales, the goats. And when we read this passage, I think we know where we fall, don't we? We know where we're gonna end up, which flock we're hanging out with. But what if it's not that simple? After church a few weeks ago, one of the members of Hollywood approached me, Bill Miller, who had been in the Peace Corps in Cameroon. And he recounted a story to me of going to the market there where they sell both sheep and goats. And because the breeds are very different in that country, it was virtually impossible actually to tell them apart. The sheep and the goats look, he was not a trained shepherd, right? He could not separate them. He couldn't tell the distinction between them. They look so similar. And this left me with food for thought. How do we tell them apart? Even in Jesus's word, the distinctions is not that unique, even though when we listen to it, we're pretty sure which one we are. He makes it clear, doesn't he? Even if you do just one act of love towards your neighbor, you're doing it for Jesus, right? That's the sheep. We're the sheep. But even if you slight the least of these just one time, you're also doing that to Jesus, the goats. Well, I'm pretty sure that all of us have done at least one act of love for our neighbor. And I'm pretty sure that at least as many times as we have answered Christ's call to love and to be present in the world, we have looked away in the face of suffering. I know I have. So who really are we? Are we the sheep? Are we the goats? Or are we both? And can we afford to live in a world where we maintain those division lines so distinctly? Or instead, should we be seeking a place where we all find our way to the right hand of God and the glories that that brings. We can, if we choose to, look at this passage and imagine the places that Jesus is describing, the kingdom prepared for you for the foundation of the world or the eternal fire of the accursed, as afterlife experiences. But we can also, and I think we should, ask ourselves, what if this is actually the here and the now? Because surely we have seen the goodness that comes when it stands together and felt our heart blossom and our own internal healing happen. And surely we have experienced the communal suffering and anxiety and pain that comes from struggle when we do not do what we are called to do. And we need look no further than the abject suffering on the streets of our own city. Am I right? Every time I pass an encampment, I have no idea what I'm supposed to do, and my heart breaks, and I feel guilty and unsure. It doesn't mean I'm any less called to do something. We do not need to wait for the afterlife, for the accursed fires to occur, because people are suffering in them here. So how do we respond to Jesus' love to be a part of a calming, loving, healing solution that builds the kingdom of God? Who is Jesus to you? Friend, savior, teacher, Lord, all of the above? I admit for a long time I avoided saying Jesus is Lord. I am a feminist theologian, and I did not like the phrase. Not because Jesus isn't God to me, he most certainly is, but because Lord is so loaded with patriarchal and political context. And the thought of greeting others with it on any day besides Easter made me feel like some kind of Jesus weirdo. Now, I know you understand, right? I'm not going to the grocery store, to the teller, and being like, hey, Jesus is Lord. What's the price on these bananas, right? It doesn't happen like that. I'm a little more comfortable with it, though I may not be busting it out at Trader Joe's or Ralph's, because I understand now that it is a subversive statement. It's a next level commitment. And echoing the words of our ancient brothers and sisters of the early church who proclaimed it in defiance of their own subjugation in the streets, sometimes at the cost of their own life. In our own times, it is also powerful. I understand it for what it truly is. It is a proclamation and an invitation to a loving revolution, a call for a new world order. Jesus is Lord, and that, my friends, is pretty cool, don't you agree? So are you ready to step into that next level of call? Now don't worry, you don't have to know how to do anything to respond to God's call. You don't have to be a specialist. You don't have to have a plan for solving the world's problems. That's not how it works. The beauty of this thing is that when we acknowledge that Christ is Lord, when we acknowledge that he is not only our teacher and our savior, but our guide and our mentor, we are acknowledging that we will allow him to lead us and show us how it is done. And we are agreeing that we will submit to the call when it comes. I invite you to hearken back to those early Christians, the ones who greeted each other by saying, Jesus is Lord. The radical nature of naming publicly that in a world controlled by empire and power, that they were choosing a different path. Their true Lord was one who put the poor first, who stood with the outcast, who gave up everything he had, and invited, not compelled, others to do the same. In this modern world, are we ready and able to make the same proclamation? And when we do, what does it mean for your life? What does it mean for the kingdom we are building? Our church here in the heart of Toluca Lake and in the heart of Hollywood are more than a wonderful and incredible stained glass window and band and bell tower, right? Our church is you. It's each of you gathered here and online today, participating in the proclamation that Jesus, who we love, is a Jesus who loves all, right? The Jesus that we love is a Jesus that loves all. The Jesus we call Lord is a Jesus who refuses the rule of power and hatred and alienation and intimidation. Our Jesus, this Lord Jesus, is the one who heals and welcomes and disrupts the order as we know it. And he invites us to be a part of the building of new things. And we have new things to build, Got new things to build here in our worship space. We're already doing it. I love these cameras. We got new things to build out in our community and in our own lives. We are building our ministry at church. We are working hard to think about how we care for creation. We are reimagining our entire church structure's approach to homelessness and housing or houselessness. We are engaged in the fight for equal rights and against racist political systems in our sanctuary, in our chapels, in our life outside, in our worship, in our prayer, in our everyday life. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's time to get our sheep together, our sheep and our goats together, and have ourselves a little bit of a Jesus party. Because we got a lot of things to do, don't we? We got a wonderful community. We have a powerful call, a deeply broken world, and a Christ that not only saved us, but believes in us. The need is now, the time is now, and we are ready. Are you ready? We are the ones, and he is the one. Indeed, Jesus is Lord. Can I get it back?
Jesus is Lord.
Can I get it again?
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Bridie. Please stand as we do this last worship song together.